Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It is December 18th, and this is another technical practice show on my radio show called The Question on Blog Talk Radio. This day I will be experimenting with a co-host. The plan of the show is to have an hour-long show where the first half an hour is me sharing the thoughts that are running through my head and setting the agenda that I would like to have in conversation, and then most days to have a co-host for the second half of the hour. So the feel will change, the topics will change, the co-hosts each day will have a standard topic. So it'll be a consistent stable of co-hosts, and they will bring their own topic. Today's co-host will be Carla Barnhill, and Carla is a part of an online and face-to-face effort called The Mommy Revolution. And you can read about it at themommyrevolution.wordpress.com. themommyrevolution.wordpress.com. One of the things I'm going to talk to Carla about today is getting themommyrevolution.com. In fact, I've chatted with her about this before, and she said that she just doesn't know how to do that, make that, buy that URL and then redirect it over to WordPress. The nice thing about those blogs is they make everything so simple, so straightforward, so easy to do. You can just click and go, but then having to redirect a URL can sort of throw somebody into a panic. And so while I have Carla here, I've been chatting with her a while about having her do that. So that'll be part of our conversation this afternoon. Now, she's going to be practicing. She's never been the co-host on the radio show since we've only done 7 practice shows so far. Today and tomorrow will be practices with co-hosts. Rumor has it that tomorrow, my very own wife, who will be a co-host on the natural segment of the show, she's a natural health coach, and we'll be talking to people about healthy eating and healthy living and all the rest of that. So I will try not to have my head down in my computer while she's talking, because it's the radio show, and I should do it differently than the rest of the time when I act like I don't listen. And I only act like I don't listen during the times when I'm not really listening. And I'm not proud of that or anything. So the way the show is going to go today is we're going to be practicing the co-host, and we're going to be practicing your call-ins, and I might even line someone up to this will happen tomorrow for sure. I'm going to do a co-host call-in tomorrow on the separate co-host line. Now, if you'd like to participate in the regular listener call-in line, I'd love to have you on the show. The number is 646-929-1199. And for the first half of the hour, I'm going to talk about a couple of things that are newsworthy, at least from my reading. And today it's going to be presidential politics. Last night I was watching a couple little news shows late, had a couple of terrific meetings earlier in the evening, and I got home and had to unwind from those because my mind was firing and going. And so about 11 o'clock or so, I started watching some news programs, and I watched CNN, I watched some some MSNBC, flipped over a little bit to Fox. I like to watch all of those shows and take in all the perspectives. And the conversation yesterday tended to be about two things that I think have some connection to one another, and they both had to do with the current president and the president-elect. So on the Bush one, it had to do with this little victory tour that he's on. He's kicking around and he's going places, and he's doing what presidents have the right to do, which is to brag about his accomplishments. And I think there's something interesting about that, about how we do that. And when you have a president who has such a low approval rating, not only among people who didn't vote for him, which, this has always been a 50% nation for this presidency, that at best, he was going to get 50% of the people sort of on his side, and then on a particular topic, approval might surge, like after 9/11 or something. But when the approval rating is so low among the people who supported you, like Bush's approval rating amongst conservatives is horrible. It's terrible, you know. People turned against him when his approval rating dropped from the 50% down to the 30% or 20%, wherever it is now. That wasn't losing Democrats. It wasn't losing progressives. It wasn't losing liberals. It was losing conservatives. So the guy is really trouble. So it's a little odd that he has to go around and give these speeches, and then you sort of wonder who's supposed to. And you know, part of the conversation yesterday was his comment that the one thing you can't argue with, well, you can argue about a lot of his policies, is that America was kept safe. And I just think that's on, I think a president either has to be willing to disclose what he knows that we don't know that he stopped, right? So, look, this guy had this plot, this woman strapped this bomb to her, this group put together this plan, and we stopped it. And if we hadn't done these policies, if we hadn't acted in these ways, this terrible thing would have happened. You either have to out that, or, in my opinion, you don't go chiming in about what you've been doing, because you can't defend it. You can't just go around saying, well, we kept you safe, but I can't really tell you why. It's like the antivirus software promises that people make. If you can't pull out those files and show this was a corrupt one, then you really can't say we're keeping you safe. I mean, that's the barking at the moon analogy, that, you know, the dog barks at the moon and the moon comes up every night. The dog starts to believe that he's barking at the moon had something to do with the moon coming up. And the point being, it might not have had anything to do with the moon coming up. Probably had something more to do with coincidence. So this is the question. Is do you get to go around taking credit? Now, some commentators, and Keith Olbermann, who has just become over-the-top negative. I mean, seriously. I've been a big fan of Olbermann for a long time, but he's just so caustic and so, it's just, I don't know how much longer. His tonality more than anything. Well, his tonality and his constant picking, and then his unwillingness to do so on some topics, but doing so on others. But anyway, Olbermann's point was, hey, you didn't keep us safe on September 11th, and so do you really get credit for keeping us safe now? And I think that's really not the argument to be had. I think if there had been three terrorist attacks or four terrorist attacks, and then there were none for 8 years or 6 years or 4 years or 3 years, you could say for the last 8, 4, 3 years, I've kept you safe. I don't think it's a reasonable argument to say, hey, you didn't do it once, you have to take blame for that. I think the better question is, you got to be outing this, what you had going, what you were stopping, or you don't get to take credit for stopping it. So I think that's an intriguing thing. On the shoe throwing, one of the questions was, hey, is shoe throwing going to become sort of the new in vogue way to express political dissent? Let's hope not, right? I mean, whatever cultural situation allowed for shoe throwing to be an appropriate way to express discontent and to express disdain. I think the world is worse off if we throw shoes at people. This is no Albert Einstein moment here. No, we shouldn't throw shoes at people. And yes, we should all be bothered at the fact that the president had a shoe thrown at him directly, especially by someone who was vetted to come into a room. But we shouldn't throw shoes at anyone. No, we shouldn't cheer it on. It's not speaking truth to power to throw shoes at people. So people should stop the shoe throwing. I'm not trying to speak about, you know, if there's some particular meaning for that for Iraqis in their culture. I don't know. But the world would be worse off if we were all throwing shoes. So I think we should quit with the shoe throwing incident. Now showing it over and over, I think, is worthwhile. And when I actually, you know, when I first saw it, I stopped Shelley and said, "You've got to see this. Some guy threw a shoe, not one, two shoes, at the president." But the more I've watched it, and I've probably seen it, you know, like a lot of people, 500 times. No, I don't know. 50 times at least. The look on Bush's face, you know, first off, he ducks out of the way, which is, you know, pretty agile for a guy his age. He is definitely a champ. He ducks out of the way, and then he looks up, and he's kind of laughing, like, did that guy just throw a shoe at me? And then he threw another one, and, you know, Maliki reaches over to try to block it, if you've seen that, and then Bush sort of pops back up, and he's got this smirk on his face, and the Secret Service guy comes up. He's like, no, it's fine. I can handle the shoe throwing. So I think it's newsworthy because it's so insane, and it's really not something that we should be encouraging. So anyway, a couple of thoughts there on that. Now here's the more substantive comment. I was reading my friend Douglas Bass's Twitter update, and it came to me through through an email update or something, and I saw it last night. And I have to say that I went on and looked at some more of Douglas's Twitters, and he makes a Twitter comment that basically is, I think the Minnesota State Legislature is a waste of a perfectly good Doug Padgett, but no one asked me, he said. Well, I'm going to ask you for a contribution. In fact, this Saturday at my house, I'm going to have a little party where I'll ask you for a contribution. I'm not sure if I can ask for those contributions on my radio show yet, but I'm kind of working that out. But anyway, so I don't know that all of Douglas Bass's Twitters are to be, to be listened to. But he made this comment last night, and Douglas is a stated and advent conservative, and he's, you know, not an Obama fan. And he said on his Twitter yesterday, not looking forward to 4 years of non-answers and smug lectures about it being the wrong question. And I think this sort of encapsulated for me what I think is going to be so interesting about now the Obama administration. For 8 years, a certain spectrum of the populace has felt at odds with the president and has been willing to voice that. And another spectrum of the politic has been supportive. And now it's flipping. There are now these people who are just doing the Keith Olbermann and the tick, 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 and the every comment and everything, and what do you think that means, and reading into it, and here it comes. Now, I wish, personally, that we would move beyond that brand of interaction. I'm not suggesting that's what Douglas has done. I think what Douglas is saying is, look, there's a tonality of Obama, and I've been raising this question with folks that I've been talking to, which is, what do you think are Obama's strengths? And look, I voted for the guy. I'm a supporter. I'm thrilled. I think this is great. I'll also say I haven't lost an election since 1992, and I've only lost one presidential election in my life. So I voted for Republicans. I voted for Democrats. The question is, what are the strengths of a president that then become the liability? It's easy to find the liability in anybody, right? It's easy to look out and find, you know, what the problem is and then to jump on someone's limitations. But people tend to, if you're in any kind of leadership, to compensate for, build around, and support around your limitations. The bigger problem is your strengths when they become your problem. And it was clear in the Bush administration over time that the problem was decisiveness and not changing your mind and being deliberate and not being wishy-washy and not waffling on things. That became a serious, serious problem. There's one might even say a personality defect there, not just in the president himself, but in the whole personality of the administration. So the question for Obama is, what in your style that's attractive and is a positive ultimately becomes trouble for you? And I think that some of it is going to come down to being the smartest guy in the room and bringing all the voices in and analyzing. And I think what people are going to just, you can just mark my words, I may have said this in an earlier radio show on December 18th at 10:14 a.m., I'm saying it, people are going to be saying, the constant processing of everything is driving me crazy. Just come out and say it, man. But don't suck everything in to process. And you can hear people already saying this. So I think one of the limitations, I mean, no drama Obama is going to be a strength. No, there's no question about it. But I think what's going to come back, and people need to start watching this, and if they're going to lose trust or confidence in a style, I think it's going to be the deliberate nature. The very thing that was the strength then becomes the liability. And I think you can go across nearly any leadership, but especially political leadership at the presidential level, and this is what you see are these struggles. And so guys like Douglas Bass, what they're saying is, man alive. That's not the right. He's picking up on that, and I think it's something worth noting. But now again, I wish we could move into a world in which there was a more substantive, and that doesn't mean that it has to be only on important topics. It can be substantive on trivial things too, but a substantive way of acting, interacting, reacting, and so on. So. Those are my thoughts. We've got about 10 minutes here before we have to go to a news break. You know, I moved the news break around because I haven't decided yet. In fact, when the show starts here live on January 12th, and it's the real deal, you know, we're going to be rolling out the billboards, and we're going to be rolling out the bus signs, and, you know, we're going to be rolling out the big ad campaign for the show, which actually, you know, is not happening. There is no big ad campaign for the show. I'm going to not only have news brought to you by The Onion, but there's also going to be a chance every day for people to sponsor a child. I am a spokesperson for a child advocacy organization called Compassion International, and what I'll be doing on each show is highlighting a particular child and giving people the chance to support that child or one like him or her. So that will be a regular sponsor feature as well. Now, so if you have any thoughts, comments about what I've been rambling on here about in the Obama world, I would love to hear from you. A couple of ways you can call in, that you can be part of the show. You can call in on the studio line that I've mentioned to you a couple of times, 646-929-1199. Or also on the screen, if you're looking at your screen and you're chatting, is a place to click to talk. And I'd love to try out that technology. We tried it the other day with a couple of people. I'm not sure that it worked so hot. So your thoughts, your comments on either the Bush victory tour that's been going on, shoe throwing, or the attitude of people about Obama or the liabilities of his strengths. So we'd love to get your comments, hear your feedback, and include. I'll also be taking a look here at the chat room, and the chat room is open on the front of the site, and it looks like we have 13 users today. Chum Chum had a dream the other night that we would have 50 users, and I'm hoping that we hit triple digits for the radio show. Triple digits of users, and then multiply that by 10 or 100 for the actual listeners. So now people are saying that maybe this click to talk doesn't necessarily work. But if you all have comments about shoe throwing, victory touring, taking credit for stopping onslaughts and terror, I would appreciate your input on the show. So feel free to call in or chat your way in. While you're all thinking about that, I was reading in my recent edition of Scientific America, as I'm sure all of you do, and they had an interesting little article in here on motivating people to do the right thing. The particular article that they had is about getting people to at hotels to not want their towels cleaned. You know, that little green card that they put there that says, help save the environment and have us not wash your towels. Well, they do a little article about some studies of how well does that actually motivate somebody to do the right thing. And they bring up in the article that nearly everybody who looks at it, because most of the folks who are traveling tend to be fairly savvy travelers, even if it's somebody who's just traveling for leisure. But certainly the business travelers, they know. They're like, look, you wash a lot of towels. Throwing my towel in there, you're still going to wash towels. You're still going to wash sheets. We just know that this saves you money on cleaning costs and timing and all the rest of that. And there's big financial priest to it all. So they say, look, people are on to that, and that doesn't really work so well for motivating people to do the right thing. Then they suggest, well, maybe what you should do is you should monetarily reward people for good behavior. And here the folks say, no, you really shouldn't. You really shouldn't motivate someone financially, because then you've moved it from being a good deed to it being a transaction. And they quote this little study that I'd heard a couple of months ago and thought at the time, see, if I had a radio show, this is the kind of thing I'd be commenting on. It was a study done in Israel about charging women, or charging parents, rather, for being late to pick up their children. That they were going to charge them, I think it was a dollar an hour or something like that. A dollar a minute. And so if you were late, you would get this fine. What they found was that tardiness of parents picking up their children went up dramatically. Because then parents said, basically, oh, you know what, for $10, I'll be 10 minutes late today. What they weren't willing to be 10 minutes late for was if they were going to receive the scorn of the worker. That if the worker looked at him and said, seriously, Bill, you're killing me. I got stuff to do, and you keep showing up late. You need to be on time, whether they say it with words or they say it with a look or an attitude. What they found was, as soon as you introduced the financial payment, then people said, hey, you're getting paid. I just bought another 10 minutes of my kid being here, just like I paid for, you know, the 4 hours of my kid being here, and I just paid a premium for this. So what they found was, you don't motivate people to do the right thing by giving them some other reason or rationale for having done the right thing. It's got to be you do the right thing or you don't. And I think it's an interesting way of looking at what motivates people in social pressure and what motivates people to do the right thing. So they suggest that, you know, what ought to happen is that you could donate money if you're going to use your towels, and then only some people would do that. And they said many people just need to hear, look, it kind of helps us financially, and it kind of helps the environment if you have us wash less towels. But the hotel had to verify, had to prove, had to give some numbers as to what it was that actually helped in that transaction. So thoughts on that one as well. I think I think there's a really interesting dynamic at play when someone is asked to financially participate. And I think this has a lot to do with the way that we use money and the way that we use other promises to motivate people toward right behavior. And I think it might have something to do with how people view global warming, or how they view caring for the environment. That if the real promise is, hey, you're going to make some more money off of this in the economy, that's a dramatically different motivation. And it might be the right one. It might actually be the way that you save the planet, but I think you can't mix them together. I think it's very unwise to start mixing together a financial motivation and a do-gooder motivation. Now, if you could say, look, some of you are motivated by the do-gooder motivation and some of you are motivated by money, and let's give both of you an option and one to choose from, maybe that's the way to go. But I think that there has to be some care and some concern applied to the exchange of dollars for doing good things. Well, last chance here for a chat. Yeah, people are talking about, let's get this thing up to 20 call-ins. We're going to run to a little news break here, and then after the news, we're going to come back with the one and only Carla Barnhill. News brought to you by The Onion.
A 1992 belly tattoo is stretched to its breaking point. It's The Onion Radio News, brought to you by Lexi. It is the Wilbur in the morning. A tattoo applied to local man Vince Costa's midsection in the early 90s has reportedly become structurally unsound and may collapse under his own weight. Inspectors say Costa's body art rendering of the Pearl Jam Stickman logo has been undermined by Chili's snap rise in 2004.
I plan to take the necessary steps to preserve this tattoo as best I can.
In the event of an all-out failure, Costa has a team of emergency tattoo artists standing by with a replacement Harley Davidson logo. Joel Redland for The Onion Radio News. Now here's The Onion Radio News on your mobile phone. It's free, and it keeps your iPod clear for more Coldplay. Visit Lexi.com/The Onion to sign up.
Whoops.
1992.
Whoopsie daisy. We need a new engineer around this place. It's just not going to work. Hey, we're here with our first in-studio co-host, Carla Barnhill. Is here with me, and she we were chatting, as you probably heard, over the news.
Sorry.
And it's because I play the news currently through my iPod dock, and then it gets picked up by the microphone. What I should do down the road is move these files. And Carl, this is a technical. The second week of a technical show. No, I'm just saying that we talk about during this week. I talk about how the show actually works. Well, what I should do is upload the files onto the computer, onto the Blog Talk site, so that I can push the button and have them play. Like if I push this button here, it will play.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
With the Onion audio files, but I haven't done that yet. So it's a little ghetto-y still, running the Blog Talk radio show out of my house.
Did you still hold the tape player up to the radio when the song came on, trying to catch it through the speakers?
Yeah, and try to record it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good that way.
Yeah.
Kind of what you're doing here.
And then you got your friends over to listen to the new song.
To the playback.
I remember particularly doing that with The Night Chicago Died.
Oh, yeah? I remember doing it a lot just with America's Top 40, which you could only get on WLS out of Chicago or on KDWB, neither of which came in all that good. KDWB AM.
Yeah, right.
Didn't come in all that great out in Alexandria. So it was always a little staticky to begin with, and then you get the carryover playing it through the speaker onto your cassette recorder.
Uh-huh.
Pretty high quality tunes. It's no wonder we're so impressed with this digital stuff, people our age, right?
Yeah.
Because we're like, listen to that. It almost sounds like they're in the next room. It's so clear.
And it really hasn't changed at all. So now I'm sitting here in the same ghetto fashion with my little microphone. And you folks, it would be good if you saw this someday, but my stand isn't tall enough to put the microphone up where I like it. So I have my stand sitting on a box.
Because the box the stand came in, though, so it's a little classes up. Am I okay where I'm sitting?
This is what we're trying out right now. We're trying to see how well is the audio working with our friend Carla. So I know that we have 18 users.
Oh.
Somebody had the common sense. We have 19 users in the chat room. I haven't looked at the statistics yet to see who's listening. So here's how this works, Carla. This is the chat room.
Okay.
We're up to 19 users again. And if they write something, we see it.
Oh, cool.
And we can write.
If they spell my name with a K, for example,
I
can see them.
If do they do that? Do people?
And they just did. It says, welcome, Carla, which I appreciate. And it's okay about the K. I'm not
yeah,
worried
it's
about that.
That's Chum Chum. English is not Chum Chum's first language.
It's not.
It's a Chum Chum. And then what will happen is people will call in, and when they call in, which people didn't call in the first half an hour.
It says Clum Clum.
This says Cium Cium.
Oh.
But I call him Chum Chum.
Okay.
And Chum Chum is a regular and a consistent and amongst the top advocates. In fact, when the question T-shirts come out, Chum Chum's got his name written on one. Chum Chum might have to send you a Church Basement Roadshow T-shirt as a carryover. For that, you know, that's something I could do too. Is I could have T-shirt giveaways with the Church Basement Roadshow. Church Basement Roadshow.
You got two leftovers.
In fact, anybody has ideas about how to make the radio show, little segments and to make it more fun. And the last couple of days, all I've been working on are the technical sides of this and rhythm and all that. Like I have little notes here written down about what I'm going to talk about for each radio show.
Oh, good.
And I am starting to realize. Figure out how much material I actually have to talk about and how long it is to talk for 10 minutes or 30
right.
minutes or something. Because sitting here myself, well, I am, but here's what I realized is that that live interaction with someone, even when they're, if it's speaking to a group, runs a different timer in my head than when I'm staring out my window and just talking to no one, like getting used to a radio motif of talking, I realized is different. So
yeah.
So I've had to sort of say, does that same internal timer? Because you know, I pride myself on an internal timer. Did you know that?
I have guessed that about you. It tends to run a little longish, I think.
No.
The other thing
it doesn't run long.
I suppose without the
I know exactly how long.
Standing ovations in the middle of things and the cheering.
Yes.
And
the State of the Union, like.
Right. All the applause. It does throw off your timer when it's just you.
No, Carla's making a snide comment, as she will. On occasion, if an occasion is means all the time, about the fact that sometimes when I give chit-chats at church about things, it can go a little long. But let me tell you, Carla, you know, there's a clock in there.
I know,
there,
and I think when you look at it, I watch it.
And what I say to myself, you don't know what's going on in my head. What I say to myself is, I bet it's 6:08 right now.
And
then I turn and I look, and I look up and I see how close I am.
Yeah.
So I've been usually
rightish?
I'm normally rightish. When I'm not rightish is when somebody else has made comments.
And it throw you off like you thought you started 10
minutes. Well, it always seems like their comments are longer than they are.
Yeah.
Because they're wasting perfectly good time. Okay, so it's now 10:31 on Thursday, which for the practice week means that it's time for the mommy revolution.
Woo-hoo!
On the question. This is Carla. We sit next to each other. We're listening in. We'd love to get a caller in on this. Carla's going to talk about the mommy revolution. I'm going to ask her some questions about it. And she will, you know, some days she'll come with material already.
And some days I will come with my dear friend Karen Riva De Mira, who is in Chicago. Maybe we'll call her up on the phone sometime. But she's my fellow mommy revolutionary. And it'd be fun to have her come chit-chat with us sometime, too.
And spell that last name.
Oh, I can't. I always have to look up. It's Riva De Mira. It's Cuban.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she come?
Her husband comes from Cuba.
Really?
So her children are Swedish and Cuban.
Were they exiles? Did they come as exiles, this family?
I don't know. I think so. He's been there for a while. I mean, he was born here. And
oh.
He's a real American.
Okay.
Not a communist.
Okay.
I don't know
about that.
Makes
me feel much safer. All I'm saying is when the mommy revolution is a great idea when it's a couple of harmless housewives.
Canadian chicks. Right,
but
then
you throw
you get
Cuban,
a Cuban in there.
And all of a sudden,
I know it.
Your mommy
you
revolution.
Going,
yeah, that's but the fact that he was born here.
That makes you feel better?
Yeah. You
know. Do you want to know anything about our funding sources, or would you rather keep that on the lowdown?
Look
yep, there it is. Thank you.
Yeah, see somebody in the chat room.
I had to look it up right. Yeah, that's right. I can never remember where there's an
E-I-R-A. I bet you got that off the internet, didn't you?
Yeah, because you spelled Karen correctly as well.
Yeah, you Googled her. Or you went to the mommyrevolution.wordpress.com, which I brought up, Carla, before you were in here, and I'm sure you weren't listening on a portable internet device.
It wasn't because I was driving over here.
Well, if you had your iPhone logged into this website and had your earpieces in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not have excuses for why we don't listen to the radio show, okay? If we're going to start with the reasons people don't listen to the radio show. It's endless.
Maybe you should have an iPhone giveaway then.
I should do an iPhone giveaway.
You should. Start,
you know what else I'm going to be
your
promoting?
Thursday morning guest.
I'm going to be promoting in January the chance for you to take yourself or a group into the Boundary Waters as part of the Boundary Waters experience. They're one of the sponsors here of the radio show. Now, by the way, all these sponsors of the radio show don't actually give any money yet. They're just people that I think are doing good things, so I want to consider them sponsors. So if you would like a sponsorship of the radio show, do something good, and I'd be glad to talk about it. Or if you really want to be a funder of the radio show, you can give some money to them. Carla, we're up to 20 users here on the chat room, and I told some of these listeners earlier on that I was going to bring up the fact that you still don't have the mommyrevolution.com.
No, I do have the mommyrevolution.com.
You do?
I own it, but I haven't figured out
how to redirect it
yet. And actually, I know what I need to do. I just actually haven't done it because it takes about 10 more minutes than I ever make time.
I made a promise to these people that before you left the house today, we were going to redirect it.
All right, we'll make it happen.
So sometime in the next 24 to 48 hours.
As long as my child is happy watching your cable, I will get it.
Is Maddie out there?
Yeah, she's down.
Oh, come on. This is fabulous.
Maybe she can come in.
Carla and Jimmy collaborated together to make another human being, and the third one that they made is Maddie, and she's five.
3 and a half.
See, I know she went to preschool, and I always get confused about the age of preschool. Kindergarten's 5, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so the Mommy Revolution. Tell us what the Mommy Revolution is about and what in coming weeks we will be hearing about on the Mommy Revolution segment.
Well, the Mommy Revolution is basically an attempt to wrest motherhood and conversations about motherhood out of the hands of 70-year-old men and put them back into the hands of actual mothers. That's really what it's all about. That's the revolution part. It's redefining motherhood from the ground up. Instead of so much of what moms hear about and read about and talk about is imposed on us by sort of forces outside of actual mothering life. Yeah, I mean, it's becoming less that way now. The blogosphere has helped tremendously because it's a medium that a lot of women have access to and are able to kind of get their voices and ideas and opinions out there in ways that weren't really available to them even, you know, 5 years ago.
So, like, what are some examples of these 70-year-old men that have their hands on them?
Well,
other,
I mean,
like magazines that are produced or,
yeah,
or radio
enormous
shows?
Ministry organizations and, you know, they're kind of based about on, and I'm not going to, I don't need to pick on one in particular, but, because it's not just one in particular. There's a whole, I worked in Christian publishing. I have worked in Christian publishing for almost 15 years, and I've spent a good deal of that time working in the parenting piece of Christian publishing. And so I've seen all the books and all the magazines and all the articles and all the everything that comes out about what a good Christian mother looks like and what a good mother looks like, period. And so much of it is imposed on us from outside of actual mothering.
Huh.
So you don't have moms talking about what it should look like. You have pastors or teachers or professors or educators telling you what it should look like. Which is, I mean, they all have their valid considerations and things that's good for us to have those voices involved in our lives and helping guide us in our parenting. But at the same time, it's like the military having generals who've never been in the trenches. It's a bad model.
Like a president who's never served in the military,
that
kind of thing?
That kind
the
of thing.
Chief
who then decides that war would be a good thing. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Oh, he hasn't picked... Oh, I was talking about the new one.
Oh, were you?
Oh!
Yeah, I didn't remember.
Yeah, the other guy was in the National Guard or something.
Something like that.
Well, you talking about the two previous? Or the next? All right, we'll see you. But I get what you're saying.
No, but
it doesn't
yeah,
make sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not even that it doesn't make sense. It's that the models and the ideas and things just don't always work, and yet they're held up as sort of this is the model that should work, and if you're not doing it, and if you're not doing it that way, or you're not getting the results we tell you you'll probably get, it's probably because you're doing it wrong. So it's not even, like I said, it's not that the intention is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that there's malice involved. It's just that
it's a real disconnect between the real life.
And we feel like moms today are having a different set of conversations than the ones that we keep being told we should have.
Now, what I understand from people who talk about the 50s and 60s, and maybe even the 70s, is that moms used to find other ways to cluster together and to talk to each other, but it was all sort of separate from the public expectation of moms.
Well, what's interesting...
Or the kitchen table or coffee table
right.
or pen or
well,
church meeting or
what's
something.
Really interesting is that whole idea of the public expectation of moms has shifted so dramatically. There wasn't any public expectation of moms until about the 50s. That before that, women just did what they needed to do to keep their families alive and surviving. And so you have, you know, you think about, I mean, and it's still that way in agrarian cultures where women are, they just do what needs doing.
Hmm.
And they're, you know, there are gender roles and things like that, but it's less based on motherhood and more on who's here and who's there and who does it make sense to do this piece of what our community needs to survive and our families need to survive. But by the time the 50s came along, the American culture at least shifted and it became possible for women to stay home, and that was held up as the model of what a good mother ought to do. You know, it's interesting, this is when I was working on my book, The Myth of the Perfect Mother.
The Myth of the Perfect Mother, available at book resellers
and Amazon.com for a dollar, I think.
Still available on Amazon.com?
Still available on Amazon.com.
People, you should
buy 5 cents. Seriously.
You should buy this book. Now, you may not want to buy it when you're not buying anything else if you have to pay shipping, but you should definitely buy it when you've already earned the free shipping.
Thank you. Thank you.
No.
It's not worth the shipping.
It's worth the shipping. No, it's worth the shipping. It's terrific, and you really should pick it up, and it's a
It's a must buy.
Oh, here, Chum Chum has a really good question here about what about the new social networks? How does that help others? Well, I'll get to that in just a second because it'll go right into what I was going to talk about in a minute. But the idea that what I found out when I was working on the book, The Myth of the Perfect Mother, is that the whole idea of the stay-at-home mom sort of became a model because of Nixon. That it was, you ready for this?
Nixon. I just saw the Frost Nixon movie.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it good?
I liked it a lot.
Like that Franklin
but then Jello. I've watched some snippets of the actual interviews, and the movie, it's saying something else. But
it was a play in miniature.
Yeah, but they like the way he responds, like, you know, in the big ad, not to get off the topic here.
Yeah.
But you know, the big ad is when he says, "Are you actually saying that the president can do something illegal?" And he yells, sort of, "What I'm saying is that when the president does it, it's not illegal."
Right.
When he says that in the actual interview, it's far more casual and benign and a part of a longer explanation about when laws don't exist, the president makes them. Like, it wasn't the president can do whatever he wants. He didn't respond that way, but in the movie and in the ad, that's sort of how they position it. So anyway.
Nixon, here's what Nixon had to do with motherhood. Nixon was trying, in the middle of the Cold War, there was this ongoing propaganda campaign to make capitalism look like the supreme way of life, right? So the idea was that Nixon got some TV station to come and tour an American home where not only does every family have its own washer and dryer, but in the consumer, in a capitalist society, only one adult has to work. And isn't that the dream? You know, that this was the idea. This is the capitalist dream right here, that it's possible for you to make enough money that only one of the adults in the family has to work. The other one has the luxury of staying home thanks to capitalism. That's where that whole thing came from.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
It's terribly interesting.
I know. And so
this is why people listen to the radio show.
So really that whole idea of the stay-at-home mom as the model of motherhood, it's really just a big, you know, flipping the bird.
Marketing campaign.
Yeah, I mean, it was set up as a model of this is why capitalism trumps communism. Yeah. And then, you know, and again, I want to be very careful because I'm a stay-at-home mom. Let me be very clear about that. I'm a stay-at-home mom. So it's not that that's a bad choice.
Are you a stay-at-home mom? Really?
Technically.
Really?
I'm a work from home mom
but
I am at home with my kids. I don't work.
But Jimmy lets
you
out on occasion to get something to eat or go to the grocery store.
I have to take a kid.
You're not like a stay at home dog.
I don't get to go to the dog park.
It's in the backyard.
I know.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
No,
but you're a worker.
I'm a working at home mom. Yeah. But this is one of those things, even that, the idea of the stay-at-home mom versus the working mom.
Yeah.
That's a conversation that women, at least women I know, we don't have that one anymore. Because I don't know many women who are just at home and don't do a single other thing that somehow either brings income into the family or gets them out involved in the community or in the school, whatever.
Right.
I mean, I don't know anybody who wakes up in the morning, sits in her house all day, waits for her kids to come home, and does nothing else. I don't know anybody.
Well, they're supposed to shop and get dinner ready.
All right, do the homemaking.
Homemaking.
Okay, but
there's that whole other side, and I know you guys on the mommyrevolution.wordpress.com talk about this, that there's other people who say, look, homemaking is totally valid.
Oh, absolutely.
You shouldn't have to do anything else. Why are you people going around disturbing women and telling them that they should do something else?
No, see, we're not
making them feel invalid.
Well, because we're not doing that.
But that's the critique, right?
Well, sure, that's
the troublemakers.
But you know what, though? That's the thing where that's not coming from actually really within mommy conversations. That's a question that's put on from outside.
Yeah,
because women on the inside who are actually in it kind of go, nobody's saying that.
Yeah.
There are working moms who say, I wish I could stay home. I don't blame my mom who does it. Moms who are at home are like, I miss working every single day of my life.
Yeah.
I can't wait for these kids to get out of the house so I can get my life back. So I don't think that's. There you go. Chum Chum.
Kimber.
Home school.
Kim, And you know, Chum Chum, I'm beginning to think you're a stay-at-home dad, but we'll get to that in a little bit, because you know, you're able to be on this radio show every day. Appreciate it so much. But Kimber or others, if you'd like to call in and have a chat with our very fine
co-host. Well, can I answer?
Chum
Chum has a question on here about social networks and how they help mothers. I'll tell you what, it's a lifeline. Is what it is.
Really?
Because I mean, the blog part is a big piece of it. Now I find Facebook. You wouldn't believe how many women are on there during the day, chitting and chatting. Well, maybe you would.
Yeah.
But it's astonishing that...
Because they don't work.
Right. But what it is, I mean, for me...
I think most Facebook updates are done by people at work.
You think so?
I'm sure of it.
But I find, like,
who else has time to sit
like
in front of
the women,
computer?
Well, I know. But one of the women who is one of my Facebook friends, she's actually married to the boy that I loved in second grade.
Really?
Isn't that sweet?
Who's this? Yeah.
Her name's Amy. They have eight kids. Seven are still at home. She homeschools her kids, but she's on Facebook all the time. But I know it's because she homeschools seven kids, and she needs to have adults out there. And even if it's just to update her status and go, I'm going to lose my mind in the next 5 minutes if these kids don't take their naps or whatever. You know, even if it's just to get that off your chest.
So she's connecting with these other people to not feel alone.
Exactly, because it's very isolating, especially when you're home with young kids. Your schedule is their schedule, and you know, you just feel like you're never going to have another conversation with anybody, and so it really, I think it's a real lifeline, and I don't underestimate it, and I don't think in any way that it destroys community. I think for women who have a profound lack of community in their lives, it's a fantastic kind of community.
Yeah, and so the Mommy Revolution seeks to ask another set of questions about, and involve women in another set of questions about mothering.
Exactly, and it's just, like, we want to free women up to figure out what are your dreams for your life. And just, you know, having kids sometimes can sort of overtake your ideas about your own life. And it's not to say that, you know, the criticism that you do get when you mention that out loud is that people are like, well, having kids is my dream. Well, that's great. Then good for you. That is your dream.
Yeah.
It's not everybody's dream. Or living life, you know, through your children is not everybody's dream. But we want to help women start to feel like it's okay for me to think about my life and what I want my life to look like. And you know, parenting children is not the be-all, end-all of who you are.
So, folks, we're going to be back with Carla Barnhill after the news break. This brought to you by The Onion.
A Hawaiian family enjoys a great vacation in Dayton, Ohio. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Bruce Mahoney told reporters today that his wife and four kids were absolutely delighted by their recent trip to Dayton, Ohio, and are already looking forward to a return visit. The Mahoneys savored a variety of Dayton's native fried meats, toured the city's arboretum, and bought clothes at a large outlet mall, said Mahoney.
We'd love to check out that Xerox plant. The boys want to know how copiers were made.
On their next trip, the Mahoney family is planning an excursion to Cincinnati to sample its famous chili before returning to their workaday grind of windsurfing and luau's. Love that chili. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
Oh.
Sorry, that was funny.
Awesome. The news brought to you by The Onion.
Sort of like your Australian friends who are here in Minnesota in the coldest week ever.
Yes, they're upstairs sleeping now, I think.
Yes.
I think they're hibernating. Mm-hmm. They think this is what you do. I have Australians in my house. And we were having a conversation, Carla. Maybe you know the answer to this because you know this other stuff. It might go back to Nixon, actually.
You didn't know I knew that Nixon thing, did you? I just taught you something, didn't I?
And you know what?
I don't think this has ever happened. I don't think I've ever said something new that you didn't already know.
This is thrilling. I mean, this is a whole new world of possibility. Maybe in another 8 years, this could happen again.
I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who told me they agreed with me like three different times. This person who never agrees with me.
Ooh.
Mickey, Marlon. We're talking about something, and he said, I think I agree with you. And I was like, what? What now?
Is he eating too much soy?
Yeah, he might be.
Is his estrogen level?
I don't know.
Did you ask him about his soy intake?
Yeah.
Why is he becoming so agreeable?
I don't know.
Somebody contact Mickey Maudlin and check on his soy intake. Let's see where this is coming from, or if he's using some salve in sensitive places or something. It's messing up, is making him agreeable. Because as much as we all love Mickey, and we know everybody in the show does.
He's one of your kind.
Yes, he is one of my kind. He wouldn't come across in most descriptions as agreeable.
Well, he's kind and jovial and wonderful, but he's a contentious and
he's
opinionated and bossy.
Right. He's a world changer. Good for him. Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope he doesn't soften up. I was talking with the Aussies, though, here about why we or they drive on the wrong side of the road. And I thought it was an advent of the automobile. And then Caitlin, just out of nowhere, said, no, I think back when people used buggies, they sat on the other side.
Look it up. Somebody look that up.
Somebody should find
the
answer to this.
Why do you drive on the different side of the road?
And here was my theory. It started in the United States, cars, automobiles.
Yeah.
And it was chosen to be on the side. Now, why it was chosen, I'm not sure. And then when the advent of the automobile went to Britain, they just did it differently.
Because they're still kind of ticked about the
Because they're...
Well, you know what I wonder, too? It's
the
interesting.
The same reason they don't have orthodontics.
They do it in the UK, right?
All the colonies.
Ireland.
All the places the Queen owns.
Really?
Yeah.
Japan? No, don't they drive on the other side
no.
of Japan?
Oh, do they? No.
Really?
Drive on the right side. Does somebody look?
Somebody look this up.
People, we shouldn't be the only ones working here. Somebody should be looking this up. And then call in, if you would, on the call-in line, which is area code 646-929-1199.
Give generously.
Or 929-ROCK or 929-ROLL. I wonder what 929-1199 is, actually.
Yeah,
so we appreciate your calling in and chatting about this. All right, so back to the conversation about the mommy revolution. How do you and Karin, which both of you could have your name spelled with a K, couldn't you? Both of you.
We could. I know Karin with a K, but she's a C. She's a little picky about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
don't
the two
get
of
it wrong.
Today.
I probably shouldn't tell you that because now you're gonna call her Karin every time you see her now.
Now the two of you live in different states.
Yep.
You live in slightly different worldviews.
Yep. We're very different in a lot of ways. Part of why we feel like the revolution is working, and if you go to our blog,
themommyrevolution.com,
.wordpress.com, you'll find we disagree on things. We disagree politically about things. We disagree theologically about some things. We disagree on a lot of things. But what we have agreed to is that our friendship is more important than those disagreements, and that it's far better for us to express those differences and talk to each other about them as friends than to try and convince the other person that they're wrong somehow. And we found, especially in this, you know, the political environment that we've just sort of survived through, that's a necessary model of people who disagree with each other speaking civilly and kindly to each other in the spirit of friendship. I don't need to turn Karin into a Democrat. I have no interest in doing that.
Right.
I'm interested in why she thinks what she thinks, and she's interested in why I think what I think, and you know, I don't need to sway her.
So how do you two decide? How do you decide? Like, what's the workflow? How do you decide what you're talking about? If
well, right
the listeners
now,
to the segment
well,
here are going
to
want input
to be
on.
Quite honest, we were sort of unprepared for the mommy revolution to begin when it did, and we didn't really have a big plan mapped out yet. We've always had a funny an email banter. Back when we worked together,
where did you work?
We worked at Christianity Today at the same time. She was over Marriage Partnership, and I was over Christian Parenting Today. Neither of which exist anymore, not because of us.
How long will it take for you to fold the mommy revolution?
We'll see what we can do. Double time. Anyway, now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, that we just have a good bantery relationship, and. So we thought, well, it wouldn't be fun if we could translate this into a book or an article or whatever. And then this sort of came along as sort of, well, maybe we can do it here. And so we started, one of us just writes a post and says, I posted something, and the other one comes in and offers their 2 cents, and the person who started it might come back in and wrap it up, and then we post it. So we don't have a lot of rhyme and reason to it right now. We just sort of, whatever is inspiring one of us, we get it going. And
an added component now is going to be the half an hour of the
right.
of this radio show.
Right.
You're going to throw this up as an audio post.
Oh, are we? Are you going to show me how to do that?
Well,
you're dealing with someone who might as well be using a typewriter. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Carla is Carla is very proficient in her areas, though.
Yes,
Carla
I know.
Is an editor and a ghostwriter and an editorialist and a magazine editor. And what else do you do currently for work? You do all those things, right?
Just some writing, straight-up writing.
Just straight-up writing.
Mm-hmm.
An author.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she does all those things. And the topics of the Mommy Revolution will be set by the two of you and by readers or
well,
listeners?
Yeah, like we had, well, for example, we did a post right after the election about, you know, why can't we all get along kind of thing. Got a lot of comments on it, but within about, you know, five comments, it turned into being about abortion. So we're going to do an abortion post. We're kind of trying to figure out the timing on it. Yeah, I mean, it kind of didn't take long for it to sway that direction. But so we're kind of trying to, you know, keep a feel for what are the things that women want to be talking about. And what's great, too, is we have a lot of women, you know, it's not just about being a mom. It's really kind of about womanhood and how do you maintain your identity as a person and as a woman in the midst of parenthood. So I've had a couple of women who have no children who've said, oh, I love reading that blog. It's really great. And I've had men tell me that. So it really isn't just a... We're not just, you know, it's not just talking about, you know, we're not talking about diapers and boobs all the time. Where can I say boobs on your show or is the FCC come?
That's one of the safe words, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
I have a list of the seven you can't say.
You're George Carlin. But anyway, so we, you know, we're not just talking about that stuff. We are trying to expand the conversation and sort of, we figure if we're interested in it, other women will be too and other people will be. So we don't have a narrow list of topics we're covering. We're not going into, you know, cloth versus disposable or anything. We're just chatting.
And at some point, will you do face-to-face get-togethers? Will the Mommy Revolution
Well, we'd like to, yeah.
Post get-together?
We really want to do some mom hall meetings where we travel
mom
the land.
Mom hall meetings.
Yeah, travel the land and field questions. And
well, if you're looking for an event production company,
I know
the phone number.
When the time comes.
1-800.
The problem is, this is the thing, this is the irony about doing parenting work, is that when you're actually parenting, you don't have a whole lot of time for the parenting work part.
Yeah, right.
So
tell
we
me
both
about
have,
it.
Yeah, so she As has I, young kids and I have young
I
kids.
Twitter while my children weep.
Right.
Hey, I need Carla to learn the process of talking to a caller. So we need someone to call in. You can either push click to talk or you call in. We only have 3 minutes left on the radio show. 2 minutes left. I need a caller to call in just so Carla can hear someone. Caller, caller, so Carla can say, hello, Carla.
I've been waiting for 20 years for that.
Somebody call in, 646-929-1199. So people, we need you to call in because we're down to the final 2 minutes on the radio show. And I managed the time poorly. I was going to do this for the last 5 minutes. So somebody needs to call in 646-929-1199 or click to talk. Chum Chum, Timber, PB, Paul Berry. Somebody give a call in. We don't even care what you say. We just want her to hear the thing. Come on, you people. You're killing me. Do I have to call in myself? Am I gonna have to, is this what it's come to at some point in the radio show? I have to call in myself?
There's dead air right now. We don't want dead air. There's dead air.
Well, there's
dialing.
There's clicking and movement and anticipation. Is someone going to call in? Kimber, you're a darling. Kimber, what you got for us?
I don't hear all that. Can you hear me?
Yes, Kimber, thanks so much. Good of you to call in.
Hi, Kimber.
Probably you got the 90-second warning there, Kimber. Thanks for calling in.
Great.
You're listening to this through speakers, aren't you?
Sorry,
you can hear the 2 second delay. Hey, folks, we're in our last 60 seconds here. We'll be back on tomorrow. And are you working? The mama is working tomorrow, so she can't be the co-host tomorrow. And we got 646 call or 630 area code. 630 area code. Who do we have here?
Hello, this is Carla's friend Karen.
It's Karen!
Karen, are you kidding me?
I am listening, and I've been trying to log on, and like it's like kicking me off, and my kids are running all around me. So of course, I'm doing the bad mommy thing of like scuttling them out of the way. But I felt bad that no one called, so I wasn't calling for Carla.
Yeah, you see why we love Karen?
Well, Karen, I'm sorry you had trouble logging in. Are you calling now through your home phone or through a cell phone?
No, right now I'm calling from my home phone.
From your home phone.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it. Carla's talked about having you call in as a guest host, and we have a whole mechanism for that. So we're going to go off the air here in about 20 seconds, and
we'll
wait for you to get lined up to be a call-in host.
Okay. Oh, that would be fun. Well, I just didn't want Carla to feel like no one had called. I was going to ask her a question.
Yes.
Oh.
Have 3 seconds.